Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hi, welcome to Sports Scouting Report. I'm Lee Brekeen, episode one, joined by Jace Lejeune, our producer, does a great job. We're going to be talking about recruiting. We're going to hopefully educate parents every week about recruiting for football and all sports, and also college football, and we're going to be talking about the NFL. We have a fan segment, which I think you're going to enjoy every week. We got Chalk Talk that we're going to use every other week, and much, much more. Again, you're listening to Sports Scouting Report with Lee Brekeen.
We'll be right back on the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Time for our archive interview.
This is a great interview from our TV show, Louisiana Football TV Magazine. Take a look at Donnie Jones, former LSU punter, and his dad, Don Jones. We did his highlight tape, actually, when he was in high school at Catholic High in Baton Rouge.
Catholic High.
Check this out.
Michael, that I was the only punter to win both a national championship and a Super Bowl, which I didn't know. I don't think that was ever a dream as a kid, was to play in a national championship. I think it became more of a dream when I got to LSU, when I got to the NFL. And, you know, at that level, even at high school, you know, what is your goal each year? And we'd always put our goals out, most recently in the NFL. And every year it's to win a world championship. The first meeting is the Lombardi Trophy. And, you know, to have an opportunity to not only play in that game, but to win it, and to win it against New England. You know, the game Brady had, you know, he threw for over 500 yards on us, and we won. You know, when I look back at that team, we were a special group, and I almost think we were destined to be there to win that game. And, you know, a lot of times it's not how talented you are, it's how your guys work together. And we were a true team. You look at all the guys we lost. We lost our starting quarterback, starting left tackle, starting middle linebacker, starting punt returner, starting special teams ace, you name it. And we won. I didn't used to wear my ring a whole lot, but last year as a member of the Chargers going back to New England and having Brady just whoop us, you know, it really made me think how special and how fortunate I was to be a part of that. So I wear my ring more. I didn't wear it today, but I brought it to the game Sunday, and it's just a great memory to have.
Yeah, that was Donnie Jones, and, you know, Don Jones was on the show with him, his dad, a great man, and actually got a chance to talk to Don. Called me on my landline back then. I worked out of my house when I had my magazine back in 99, and he said, I got a son, Donnie Jones, that's coming up punting. He's going to be a sophomore, and struck up a friendship, and you know, Donnie, what made Donnie differently, Jace, than other kids that you meet, his focus.
Yeah.
He was determined, and everything was 110%. He was serious about being the best he could be, and just you could feel that being around him at a young age.
Yeah.
He was going to win. He was competitive, too. And, it, I mean, he was going to beat you in a game of pong, pong, ball, or whatever,
ping pong
or basketball, whatever. But you got to have that grit to make it.
Yeah.
You know, and he was a tight end in high school. He was all state as a tight end, and people forget that.
Yeah, people forget about that.
I mean, he had like 40 catches his senior year, and he was MVP of one of the playoff games when they had Sherrone Carey was the quarterback at Archbishop Shaw. They had to beat Shaw at Shaw, which was, you know,
powerhouse rough. At the time, yeah.
And Donnie was the star of the game as a tight end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they couldn't bring him down. He had great hands. He kind of looked like Thad Moss, man. He was catching those balls, and he could run. I mean, Donnie ran a 4.6 at 6'3", about 200 pounds. You know, he ended up being 220 and becoming one of the – he has the best average of his career than any Louisiana native ever as a punter, which is incredible. All these years, he holds that, and it's one of the top in the NFL of all time with anybody.
Yeah, and like he said during the interview, I mean, no other punter has won a national championship and a Super Bowl.
With the Eagles. Yeah. And his coach was Doug Peterson, who was the Calvary Baptist head coach and was on the cover of our magazine back when he was at Calvary. I was
ties everywhere.
You know, I look at that at the office. I'm like, man, I remember when Doug was the head coach at Calvary Baptist with John Booty, Josh Booty's dad.
Yep.
So that is our segment there with Donnie Jones and Don Jones.
It's time for the archive interview.
So So we're going to have two of these today, Lee.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm excited because we can take some of our interviews from our TV show, which all of these are from this year, and we can take some older ones. But Dale Brown is one of the smartest human beings I've ever met in my life.
Yeah,
I've got a lot of respect for Dale. He could have ran for governor. He could have been a politician and been a great one for anybody, right? Anybody would have voted for him. And this is an interview about meeting Shaquille O'Neal and talks about his the first time that he met Shaq. Check this out.
Packing my bag, get a tap on the shoulder, and I turn around. Here was a man about 6'9", 250. I noticed he was dressed very neatly, kind of shy, a big guy. And he stuttered, Coach Brown, I'll be trying out for the team here. And he said, I can't dunk a ball. And I run up and down the court about three, four times, and my lower extremity is tired. Can you show me some exercises to build these up? I said, do you have a weight room here? No, we don't. Let me show you some non-resistance.
Sure.
So I spent about 10 minutes showing him non-resistant exercises. I said, let me get you, wait a minute. Went and got a pen and piece of paper, and I said, what I'll do, young man. I said, when I get back to Baton Rouge, I'll send you our weight training program. Soldier, I said, how long you been in service? He looks around like this, Coach Brown, I'm not in service. I'm only 13 years old. I said, you are?
6'9", 250, yeah.
Yeah. What size shoe do you wear, son? 17. I said, what are you doing here? My dad's a career military man. Well, it all started with this situation.
That's amazing.
And the story now has an interesting ending to it. I got home. I sent him the weight program immediately. About 6 to 8 weeks later, I got a letter from him. Dear Coach Brown, I did everything you told me to do. My high school coach cut me off the team. He told me I'm too slow, too clumsy, too big a feet. I could never be a basketball player. What should I do? I'm pondering, what kind of a profound statement am I going to make to a 13-year-old child that just had his heart broken? I'm just going to tell him about my life. And I wrote the following. Dear Shaquille, I'm so sorry what happened to you, but every time in my life when I heard somebody say, yeah, he didn't have a dad, his dad abandoned him, his mother's on welfare, he'll never make it, blah, blah, blah. I tried the following, and it worked for me, and I bet it'll work for you. If you always try to do your very best and never give up under any conditions, sooner or later, God will take care of everything else.
That's
the rest
true.
Is history.
And, Coach, I loved how he remembered as a 13-year-old.
What a great piece with Dale Brown. I mean, one of the great – I mean, this guy, I mean, unbelievable person. Honored to have him on the show two or three times now, and it's just great to – I mean, he's one of the smartest people I've ever met in my life. But that was our interview.
We'll be right back on the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Make sure to check out our website at LAFootballMagazine.com for all the latest recruiting information statewide. This week, check out all of our recruiting interviews with all the latest prospects and coaches. Also, make sure to check out our website to stay up to date with our TV show each week. That website, again, is LAFootballMagazine.com.
It's time for Sports Travels.
Welcome back, Lee Brekeen. One of my really good subjects here that I'm glad we're able to put on our podcast, not on our TV show, and it's the first show called Lee's Travels. Basically, what this is over the 25 years, 26 years overall before the magazine of just meeting coaches and having memories of going to schools and remembering some of their great players. And today's guest is one of my favorite coaches that he's retired from coaching, but he's not retired. He's still working for the school system in New Orleans. And what a great guy, Coach Billy North, former head coach, longtime head coach of John Aaron High School. Thank you, Billy, for joining us.
Lee, it's always a pleasure talking to you, old friend. How are you doing?
Good, man. I was for this segment, I said there's one guy I want him to have the first podcast with us, you know, breaking, you know, cutting the, what do they call it? Cutting the, with the, when the mayor, they go out and they cut the,
cut the ribbons and all. Yeah, I'm starting to do that kind of stuff. You've been on the school board and stuff. We got my scissors. Let's start cutting.
our dull scissors, but yeah, but Coach, I met Coach a long time ago, so I'm thinking here, Memory Bank, started the magazine in 96. prior to 96, before the magazine, about 94, Coach, 94, 95. I remember going to the school at John Aaron and remember going to the office, checking in, and what a big school, what a great school. The football office is way in the back, and, you know, I'm nervous. I'm young, like 24 years old probably.
Right. And I wasn't a whole lot older.
Yeah.
You know, I was just a little more. I was more ornery, though, you know what I'm saying?
I remember that day, though. I come in and I meet Coach, and I'm looking at the walls. I see Leonard Valentine, who had played quarterback, one of the great quarterbacks. And, you know, you see all these great players from the 70s and 80s that played there. And then, obviously, all the players that came out during Billy North's time with Reggie Wayne and Cordell Stewart and Theo Williams and Mitchell and several other players that came out of the school. Darrell Williams was another one. But, you know, Coach, I got a chance to meet your dad, who was so passionate. And that's when I knew that it was a passionate thing for you to be a coach, just meeting your dad and seeing how he was at all your games. And it being
It was a blessing. It's a blessing. My dad's still with us. So, you know, God has been very good to me. But it's been in my family. My uncle was a high school coach in Oklahoma, and he worked for Barry Switz at OU, and then had jobs at Arkansas with Danny Ford, TCU, Alabama, and then finished up at Texas A&M. So it's in our blood, and I've been blessed to have some very good role models. And actually, the time I spent at John Arrett was a blessing to me. People tell me all the good things I've done for our kids over there. But really, it's just the opposite. I mean, those kids have given me a lot more than I could have ever given them.
Coach North, what sticks out to you that you don't miss about football and coaching, and what do you miss?
Let's go what I miss first, okay? I mean, okay. And I try to explain to my wife, I've been remarried, and when she sees the things like Sean Payton in the locker room doing the motorcycle or wherever they do with his team, you know? That's what I miss. I miss driving home. I was telling somebody the other day, we played Ruston in 90, maybe 92, 93, in the quarters. We won a 48-47 game in four overtimes. And I am telling you, that bus ride home from Ruston was a good time. You know, cold Popeye's chicken before the chicken sandwich.
Well, at least it was still open, Coach, when y'all were done.
Right? Yeah. Well, we had it planned. We're not going to miss our Popeye's chicken on that ride home.
There you go.
But after a win against a great team like Ruston, that cold chicken tastes a lot better. And that and talking to the kids and listening to the kids, you know, rap. And then, you know, every once in a while, Coach North will get in that little rap too and things like that. That's what I miss. What I don't miss, the neighborhood agents. I don't miss the every kid has a trainer. Every kid wants to go to the NFL. I don't miss that at all. A lot of times parents, even though a coach may be with that child for 4, 5, 6 years, that parent has a tendency to listen to someone who just came on board and they're actually paying them money.
Right.
You know, I don't miss that at all, but I do miss the children. The kids have stayed the same. People ask me all the time, you know, didn't kids change from the 80s to when you quit in 2012? No, they haven't. The kids are still the same. They're hard workers and things like that. It's the parents in the community that has changed over the years.
Before we go, Coach, LSU won the national championship over Clemson, and they had a Patriot player on the team, Michael Divinity, got to play, sat out most of the year, suspended, and got to be happy for Divinity to get to finally, you know, if they don't make the national championship, he didn't get to play again.
And
he was a big part of that game.
Very happy for the Marrero community, very happy for Mike and his family. I actually coached some of his cousins and brother when he was there. But, you know, that's a credit to Coach Ogeron. You know, Ed never gives up on a kid. Ed understands what it's like to have some obstacles in your life. And I know people have given Ed chance after chance, and he has a reputation of not giving up on kids. I'm very happy for Mike and his family.
Well, Coach, thank you for joining us. Go drink that coffee. And I know you got a long day with school. And, again, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it, Coach.
Oh, man, always a pleasure, buddy. You take care.
Thank you. That was Coach Billy North, John Arrett with Lee's Travels.
It's time for the Coach's Chalk Talk.
Welcome, Lee Burkeen, here with one of the great coaches in our state of Louisiana and our Chalk Talk, which is a segment dedicated to talking about football and schemes and coaching, offense, defense. And we have Coach Rodney Gein here from Calvary Baptist, who's coached a long time in Louisiana and at Houghton High School, Coach Dak Prescott and many other good players. And Coach, I would love to get your feedback of coaching, the schemes you used at Houghton when you had Dak Prescott, and compared to what you're doing now at Calvary Baptist.
Okay, glad to be on, guys. Yeah, you know, we kind of, a lot of the stuff we do here is kind of what we did there, but, you know, you have to tailor what we do with really our quarterbacks, what we base a lot of it out of. And, you know, we were at Houghton, we had Dak, who was just a tremendous runner, and, you know, very strong, powerful kid that could, you know, we ran a lot of power stuff with him, even up in the middle of the line and, you know, like that. And, you know, he carried the ball 12 to 15 times a game a lot of times. And, you know, as much as our running backs carried it. So we tailored a lot of our run game with the quarterback there and did that. And, you know, he was great in the short passing game. So we did it, you know, we were primarily, you know, a lot of quick slant stuff, you know, three-step drop, you know, get rid of the football, that kind of deal there with him. And, you know, a lot of that was tailored. We had some great smaller receivers that can really, really run. And so, you know, they're very good at getting off the ball fast and getting open quick. And, you know, here's a little bit different in the fact that, you know, Cade Hart, the last 3 years we've had him, is a tremendous passer
in
the pocket. And, you know, just a tremendous guy with the football. And, you know, we didn't run him near as much. We run a lot of two-back stuff here because we're blessed with some great running backs. And so here our run game is primarily with the running backs. And, you know, and Cade was mainly a sprint-out type guy, great improviser, you know, getting out of the pocket and doing stuff. So, you know, really a lot of it's tailored with the quarterback, what we think the quarterback can do and what his strengths are. And he's been, you know, the quarterback was a focal point at Houghton. It's a focal point here, too, and really based on what we do. But we run a lot of the same plays, but, you know, we just don't use the quarterback run here at Calvary near as much as we did at Houghton.
Coach, one other thing I wanted to mention to you. Are you kind of sad like me to see the power eye not used as much? Will a fullback position, it seems like it's being eliminated by a lot of teams in the country now.
Yeah, you know, it is, and I've talked to our kids about, you know, running back's a tough spot to play right now from the main deal that most colleges are using one.
And, yeah, yeah.
You know, when you look around and all these kids playing running back, those running back spots in college are really, really hard to get now because they're looking for receivers, you know, and that type of thing more than they are running backs. And, you know, that's another thing. You know, we use some tight end stuff here. I don't know that we ever ran a play in my time at Houghton with a tight end. And, you know, I don't ever remember us doing that. And we were 4 and 5 wide every single play. And, you know, here we got, you know, we use a tight end some. We got a good tight end coming up that kind of fits that mold, and so we'll use that some here. But yeah, the old power days of football just about gone. It's a really finesse game now.
Coach, I bet old Terry Bradshaw and Joe Ferguson back in the day in Shreveport would have loved to have the offenses today, right?
Yeah, you're right. You know, sometimes, you know, when you hear, you know, they start naming great players, and the schemes of football have changed so much that, you know, those guys didn't have a chance to throw for the yardage these kids get to throw for. And, you know, it's just a whole different deal. But, you know, every coach is the same. They're going to tailor what they do, you know, depending on what they have. You know, we do the same thing here.
Well, Coach, thanks for joining us today. And I know you don't have time to rest. Before you can blink, there's going to be spring practice. So it's,
yeah, that's right. We're rolling in the weight room now, getting things ready. We're excited for next year. We're gonna have a good team up here.
Congratulations, Coach, on a great year, and keep doing a great job. Thank you, Coach.
Hey, thank you.
It's Coach Rodney Gein, Calvary Baptist.
We'll be right back on the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Parents, are you looking for advice on getting your high school athlete recruited by the right college? Lee Brekeen is your answer. Lee has been doing it for over 30 years. He knows the ropes, and more importantly, he knows the people. Lee offers turnkey service from evaluation, creating highlight tapes in the correct format, and complete guidelines for effective communication with the schools. No matter the sport, girl or boy, no matter what grade your child is in, let Lee Brekeen help match your child to the right college fit. Go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com, and get connected today.
It is time for Lee's Fan Segment of the Week.
Yeah, what a great segment. I was able to think of, you know, this segment, just meet so many wonderful people over the years. And one of my good friends, who now lives in the great town of Slidell, Louisiana, on the North Shore. I never thought he would move from Baton Rouge. But, Stan, thanks for joining us. Tell us your old radio name.
Lee.
Legendary.
You're now talking to the legendary Stan the Man from Tigerland. And infamous also.
You were like one of the top 20 callers back in the 90s.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, when you were, I think you were in between a job going, I got a lot of radio time.
Yeah, we used to hang out at Newley's.
Newley's, yeah, man. Newley's, yeah. On Florida Boulevard. And
yeah. Yeah.
But I know your passion is LSU baseball and the Houston Astros. But let's talk about the first one, with why you love LSU baseball so much.
Well, I've been going to LSU baseball since, late 80s. And I've seen about how many championships, 4 or 5. I don't know
right,
every one of them. You know, yeah, you know, I mean, they're all jumbled up in my head now, but, you know, I've seen from Eddie Furness on down the line, you know. So, I love that baseball. I can't wait for it to start after this big football win because, you know, now we're going to go between football and baseball, and it's a big nothing burger right now.
Nothing burger with no bread.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So all we have is the Astros, you know, with A.J. Hinch cheating over there.
Gosh.
My team, you know, I mean, so I don't know what to think about that. I was asking my wife the other night, I go, well, are we going to watch the Astros this year? A bunch of cheaters or what? Or I'm going to burn my gear or what? You know, so I don't know. So that's really a bad,
you know what I'm interested in. There. What I'm interested in, Stan, with the Astros, or any of the players going to leave, or is this just the coaches?
Well, I don't know, and what really makes me think about this is I was listening to somebody on the TV the other day, and they said usually when you're a batter and you don't know what's coming, you can hit from 20% to 40% of the balls, but if you know if what's coming, you can usually hit between 60% and 80% of the balls. So I'm thinking about, what about Bregman, man? Was he really that good, or was he just getting all these calls and everybody else on the team? You know, so
it's crazy.
Well, what do you think about that?
I think they need to hit a lot of home runs this coming season.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're going to be good. But
so that'll, you know, prove the point that it wasn't, you know, it wasn't,
yeah, well,
their ability.
Well, that's a good point, exactly. You know, so. And then, you know, I hate to say, see A.J. Hinch.
Yeah.
You know, I can't believe he's a cheater like that. What a great coach he was, especially for the Astros. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean,
stunned.
Yeah, I mean, the Red Sox lost their coach.
Cora's gone, and now they're talking about somebody else over at the Mets. I just heard it this morning. I can't remember his name. He was a coach at the Astros, too. I forget who it was. They're looking at him now. And nothing's been said about him. So,
well, you're going to have a bunch of binoculars at the games now, huh? They're going to bring people in just to watch.
I guess so.
I mean, you got to put a guy on full-time pay just to do this now, huh?
I'm telling you.
You know, even the guys catching the balls out in outfield are going to be watching everybody.
But okay, yeah.
What do you think? All right,
anyway,
before we let you go, Stan, the Saints man, what is LSU baseball going to do in 2020? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't know. They had a 6th-rank recruiting class this year, which is pretty good, but that's not up to par. They're usually in the top 5, you know, so I don't know what to make of that. And I think they're actually ranked number 11 at this point in time, which I know that means nothing. That's a good spot, but I don't know. You know, they'll be there. They'll be in the top 10. You know, we'll see. I mean, they lost a lot of players, the Plantas and – you know, and I can't remember all. I hadn't been boning up on a baseball quite yet. But yeah, they lost some players. You know, they got what's the pitcher's name?
Eric Walker. Yeah.
So they got some good pitching still hanging in there. So yeah, they're going to be good as usual. We'll see.
Stan, I've got to ask you this. There's a rumor going around Baton Rouge back in the 90s that LSU won a big game to go to the national. Well, that they were going to Atlanta. It was a home game, but you were playing a violin with a loaf of bread tailgating?
No, I don't know anything about that.
All right, I had to ask. Is that a rumor? Is that true? Or?
Well, no, I would never do anything like that. I would never play an accordion with a loaf of bread. No, I don't know nothing about that. Because we never have a good time tailgating. I mean, you know. So,
That's it. Coca-Cola. All that stuff.
That's it. All the way, yep.
Well, Stan, any last words to all your fans? It's been a while.
I want to say congratulations to the LSU football team. That's for sure. And Coach O, and like they say, he's got one of the biggest files in Louisiana, all the way from La Rosa to Lake Charles.
Right.
So that's a good deal there. So I'm loving that. And we didn't have to fight for the moon and the stars to line up and somebody to lose to win. We just outright won all year and kicked butt all year, man. It's a beautiful thing.
All right. Here's one question before we go. LSU's going to be at the White House today. What they get to pick the food they eat. What would you pick?
Oh my gosh, what kind of question is that? I don't know. Pizza? I don't know.
Clemson had McDonald's last year. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
McDonald's. Well, I guess I'm pretty close with pizza then. What the heck? Huh?
Yeah. I thought etouffee. I thought etouffee from the kitchen.
Well, yeah, some crawfish, boiled crawfish are in season. They can fly some up there, maybe. I don't know.
Wouldn't that be a good picture, seeing all the crawfish in the White House?
You know? Well, that would be a picture, huh? Has that ever been done before?
I don't think so.
That'd be a first. I think they deserve it if they want it.
Couple of loaves of bread.
Hey, one more thing before you got a second. What about Odell Beckett coming down, handing out money to everybody?
I don't know nothing about that. Just like some of the players said. It's not a good choice, you know?
Well, no, that's not a good choice. But they were saying maybe he got hung up in a moment. But, I mean, he's fully aware that you don't give players money. Now, even though some of them have, you know, graduated, going on and stuff. But, I mean, that guy is like trouble everywhere he goes.
Well, the thing about it is the kids in the locker room, they're celebrating. They're out of it. And
right.
I don't think the NCAA should blame 18 to 22-year-old kids trying to celebrate a national championship in a locker room.
Right. Exactly. I don't think they will. Hopefully not. But I was just sorry to see that. I mean, why do we have to have a controversy on our big day? You know, there Beckham is in the middle of it.
Well, that might be his last halftime enjoyment with players.
Yeah, I hope so. And then barring from any LSU game.
All right, Stan. Well, Stan the man.
All right, back. Lee. Good talking with you.
All right, Stan.
It's time for the Louisiana Native Update.
Yeah, Louisiana Native Update. Jace, today is former Manny High School. If you don't know where Manny High School is, it's in around the Shreveport area, technically more by Natchitoches, and it's its own area. You know, Toledo Bend is in that area, famous Toledo Bend. But Manny High School is coached by head coach Jess Curtis, who's done an incredible job with that program the last 7 years. And they have a kid that's at Arizona State. You might have watched him in the bowl game this year. A.J. Carter, he's a freshman that ran for a pretty good amount of yards this year, considering he wasn't the starter. The starter, Benjamin.
You know, Benjamin, yeah.
It's going to go in the first 4 or 5 rounds of the draft. Most running backs don't go in round one, kind of like Clyde's going to be that second, third-round pick.
Right.
But, you know, ran for 19 carries, missed some games because he was hurt, had 2 catches for 25 yards, runs a 4.5. He's 6 foot, about 220. He has an NFL future. In high school, he ran for 3,911 yards and 63 touchdowns. Now that Benjamin is gone, Jace, he's the guy. So if you're watching Pac-12 football at midnight like I do,
10 o'clock,
you know, our time at midnight, they just starting to kick off.
Right.
Check out A.J. Carter from Manny High School before you hear about him in the pros Watch him in college at Arizona State. That is our Louisiana native update.
We'll be right back on the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Make sure to tune in this week to Louisiana Football TV Magazine as host Lee Brekeen brings on big-time guests, recruits, coaches, you name it. You can catch the show on Yearview, Channel 4 in Baton Rouge, New Orleans, and Lafayette, CW21 in Shreveport-Bossier City area, CBS in Lake Charles, ETEL and Ascension, and ETEL Vision in Houma, Lafourche. Check your area for local listings.
It's time for the hot take.
It's our hot topic of the week. Glad everybody could join us today with our sports scouting report here. I'm Lee Brekeen. Bowl games, not like the old days, is the title. If you grew up in the 70s like me, 80s as a teenager, I love bowl games. It was part of my DNA with my dad. You know, when my dad was alive, we did not miss a bowl game. And just being able to wake up around New Year's the next day, Christmas, you know, that time of year where everything is, hopefully you're not working, you get to get some time off, and these games are at weird hours, like 10 in the morning. You know, Cotton Bowl used to start at 10 in the morning. It's just changed. I hope a lot of people listening are with me with this, but I think they really meant well to put bowl games like after the holidays, yeah, or like Mondays.
Yep.
But Jace, I don't really think it feels the same.
No. I mean, it doesn't mean as much, you know, with all these bowl games. A 6-6 team playing another 6-6 team.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel
7-6 team.
Yeah.
And just don't save those for late. Save them, like, just go ahead and play them normally while we're all pumped for just football, right? And because when basketball starts, it starts. And then you have a choice. You want to watch LSU basketball?
Right.
Or do you want to watch this 7-6 and 6-6 team play at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Monday?
Yeah.
Just get them all out the way like normal. I think what they're trying to do is say, okay, we're going to have the only viewing audience to have this thing after all the bowl games are over. And there was a couple of them. And actually, I watched one of them. It's, you know, ULL Raging Cajuns. I love ULL. I like ULL.
Yeah.
I'm an LSU. I grew up LSU fan in Baton Rouge, but I pull for them to win. I know a lot of the kids we promote in Louisiana Football Magazine.
Yeah.
You know, you want them to do well. I want them to win. And so, but anyway, I think the bowl games, the strategy is I would start them early again. I don't think anybody has a problem with 10 o'clock in the morning. I used to think it was a problem, but now it's better to start them early.
Yeah.
Put all the big guys on one day and then put all these small bowls earlier before the big guys.
Right, right. Play all the small bowl games first. In prime time, you'll have all the
bigger ones. I think you're losing what you thought you were going to gain by having a small bowl. Like, once all the big games are over with, people are just not wanting to watch them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so let's get back to tradition. And I'm a big tradition guy, and I really wish and I really hope that the networks will change that in the future for all the bowl games. I love college football more, as much as anybody you ever meet. I love the game. I love watching anybody play. Mm-hmm. So that's our hot topic of the week. Bowl games, not like the old days.
It's time for the college football update.
College football sports update roundup. You know, everybody has talked about the LSU National Championship game. What a magical season.
Yes, Jace, indeed. Yes, indeed.
I picked LSU, and I've got people that can back me as proven. I didn't pick them the day of. I picked them about a week ago to say 45-31.
Yes, sir.
That was my pick.
Yes, sir. I had 42-28, so it was kind of...
And we missed a field goal, man. Yeah, I mean, it could have been 45-25, but it could have been 41.
The game could have been a lot worse.
49 at the end.
Yeah.
They took a knee, and it could have been a 24-point win.
Right.
But
and
Joe,
Jamar dropped a touchdown pass, too, during the game.
And the interception could have been another touchdown drive they took away from Fulton.
Right, right. Pass interference.
That looked a little... I don't think that was a flag. I really don't.
Yeah, but that Clemson got a touchdown call back too, so I guess it was
kind of evened out.
Evened out, yeah.
You know, Joe Burrow, this will never be repeated. Mm-hmm. What he did in 1 year. We might, LSU will have another great quarterback at some point. Might be
Miami Brennan. Miles Brennan. Who knows?
But to have this 1 year like this, to break every record for the NCAA, win the Heisman, win every award, not have a bad game. Yeah. I've been watching football for 30 years. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a college quarterback not have a bad game in 15 games.
Yeah, I mean,
I've never
not
seen
even a
that.
Bad read. I don't think I saw him make a bad read.
I mean,
this
I've never
year.
Seen LSU. I've been watching LSU football since the, you know, I even watched the 60s on replays. I grew up in the 70s. Mm-hmm. But I've never seen LSU have a team from the first game to the last game and the quarterback look like an all-pro football player.
Yeah.
And the mm-hmm. receivers. Let's give some really accolades to Justin Jefferson, who went to Destrehan.
Yep.
Jamar Chase went to Archbishop Rommel. And Terrace Marshall Parkway.
Man, that's the most talented three wide receivers I've ever seen.
And let's throw in the other two. Thad Moss from Charlotte, North Carolina. Yep. Mallard Creek High School.
Right.
Clyde Edwards-Hellyer from your alma mater, Catholic High Baton Rouge.
Good buddy of mine.
Yep. And between Moss and Clyde, they had 100 catches.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Who would ever thought that an LSU running back and a tight end would have 100 catches in 1 year combined?
That's amazing. You told me that 3 years ago. I would never have believed you.
And then Clyde quietly had 1,400-plus yards rushing.
He did.
And he missed a game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 1,400 yards. Fournette only had maybe another, couple hundred in a season? Now all they did was run.
Yeah, run the football. Yeah.
He had 1,600 and something. But, you know, this is doing it balanced.
Right.
But it's incredible what was accomplished. And, you know, Joe Brady's going, he's Carolina Panther coach now. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, he deserves it.
But he doesn't have the recipes. He brought some recipes. Now they have them. Mm-hmm. But he's not the only guy that can help LSU. They can go get some other guys. They've got the money.
Yeah.
And Joe is going to do well. Heck, 10 years from now, he might be the head coach at LSU.
Yeah, very good. He just showed LSU that the forward pass can work with all these athletes that they have.
I think Coach Munoz, who did a lot for this passing game, he worked with Brady and Ensminger.
Yep.
He's going to be a great – hopefully they move him up.
He was at UL, correct?
When they won their five bowl games, some of those he was on the staff as a coordinator. He was the guru of that offensive staff.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think he's an up-and-coming talent, too. Look, it's all about the media making you into a great Superman type of coach. As soon as Brady got hired, it's the home run, day one.
Big plays,
Even though Canada was a bad hire, they pumped him, right? Remember?
Yeah, they did.
And as soon as Munoz is settling in, he's going to be another hero, I think. And then they'll go get another person probably to coach receivers maybe, or he might just be the receivers coach and take the same role. You know, we don't know how the staff's going to end up in 3 weeks.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You could have other position changes, coaches leaving. But, LSU's got the money and the means to get – and now everybody wants to be on the LSU staff.
Yeah, right.
So it's you don't have to go hustle or, try to convince somebody to leave. They want to come to LSU now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that is –
maybe they won't.
And then, let's talk about the LSU draft. By the time this airs, by the time some people hear this – everybody will be declared or not declared, but I think seven have declared up until hearing
so
this
far,
today.
As of now.
It'll probably end up being eight with Chasson.
Yeah, and he got Thaddeus.
Thaddeus could be nine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If I'm him, he had a bunch of really serious injuries. He's probably close to his degree.
Mm-hmm.
He really probably didn't – he probably doesn't have to go pro.
No,
with Randy Moss maybe. He doesn't – but I think he won't escape – what he did this year.
I think Chasson probably needs a year more than
I think so too.
Moss does.
I think the media's pumped Chasson more than he's had the phenomenal year. And look, Chasson I thought was a better run stopper than a pass rusher.
Yeah, he is.
But Justin Jefferson making a great decision.
Yep.
105 to 110 catches. He's phenomenal.
He's already a first round draft pick.
Early second.
Yeah.
Grant Delpit's a first round pick, free safety.
Yeah.
Not
a shock there.
Clyde Edwards, you got to go.
Yeah.
Short lifespan for a running back.
Yeah.
And he can't duplicate
what he did.
His
stock is not going to rise even higher than what it is.
Boy, Cushenberry has his degree.
Yeah.
So if he goes in the third round, he's
done with
school.
He's only got the degree to,
And he'll make a team. He'll be a starting center in the NFL.
Yeah.
Sadiq Charles, not really big on this one.
Yeah, that's the one I'm kind of like,
I think he could end up in the third, fourth round if he doesn't have great workouts. Yeah. It's a high risk. Mm-hmm. If he blows them away in workouts, then he could be a second. There's just so many guys could go in the first round. It's only so many.
Yeah, only 32. You
know? And then I'm not really big on Queen going, but
I can see it, you know.
He won't go in the first.
Yeah, he won't go in the first.
But
yeah.
Maybe late second.
Second, third, early third, maybe.
But he could have came back and maybe improved, I thought, a little bit. Jacob Phillips, I thought, could come back and improve.
Same boat, yeah.
Jacob needs to work on his speed outside tackling.
Yeah.
His mic ability when you come toward
inside,
him.
Yeah. Mm.
But Jacob could use a year. And look, these aren't in stone. By the time you listen to this, maybe a week from now, maybe Jacob backs out, comes back, maybe Queen, you know,
who
you never
knows?
Know. Yep. Ed Ingram's coming back. I think he's got to be he could be a first round pick in 2021.
Yep. Jacoby Stevens and Kerry Vincent will come back.
They're coming back. Glenn Logan's coming back. I think Tyler is going to be a great nose guard. He's coming back at nose guard. Neil Farrell could use a year.
Yeah, he could. And Logan.
Austin Deklis is going to be making a wise move coming back.
Yeah.
Kerry Vincent. It's kind of a tough position for him. He's not a tall guy, and he's a track guy, but he's just never going to be Patrick Peterson or Greedy Williams or, you know, he's always going to be that nickel guy that's probably going to go in the third round, but he's got nothing to lose. I'm impressed with him coming back. That shows that he cares about LSU.
Yeah.
Probably go in the third round, you know, either year or fourth round.
Yeah, it shows you that he listened to the scouts, what they had to say and where his stock was.
And then Chasson, I mean, will he go? I mean, I would love for him to come back and finally get those 15 sacks.
Of course, yeah.
And be a little heavier, a little stronger, because it was 1 year off the injury.
Yeah.
And he showed a lot. I'm impressed on how he was able to play a little bit of a linebacker role. In the Clemson game against the quarterback, people go back and look at the replay of the game. The play before the fumble that Stingley picked up,
yeah,
Chasson had that patented hit on the quarterback. It was a body hit, and it was a tough one.
Yeah, Lawrence took some hits. Yep.
And when he got up, you could tell he wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
So when he went and ran and they just kind of tapped him, the kid's got strong hands.
Yeah.
But the ball came out because I think he was hurting. I think Chasson really affected him.
Oh, yeah, he did.
I mean, look at the first game of the year at Tiger Stadium. There was three bone-crushing hits that Chasson had on running backs. The guys all left the game, never came back. I think Georgia Southern lost him for several weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
Chasson's a man, but again, don't you want to be a first-round pick? Do the Dylan Moses route. Come back. And that is our segment here with College Sports Roundup.
We'll be right back on the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Parents, are you looking for advice on getting your high school athlete recruited by the right college? Lee Brekeen is your answer. Lee has been doing it for over 30 years. He knows the ropes, and more importantly, he knows the people. Lee offers turnkey service from evaluation, creating highlight tapes in the correct format, and complete guidelines for effective communication with the schools. No matter the sport, girl or boy, no matter what grade your child is in, let Lee Brekeen help match your child to the right college fit. Go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com, and get connected today.
Hey parents, listen up. Recruiting advice from Lee Brekeen.
Yeah, Jace, parents listening, advice about off-campus camps. If you're a mom or dad and you have a kid that's going to be a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, just look at your time and your schedule. And I always say go to the colleges for camping. That's the priority. Off-campus, great experiences, go out of state, meet some famous ex-NFL players that are there signing footballs. That's great stuff. But if you want to learn, you want to keep learning the game, all this is about knowledge is power. go to a college camp on campus, not a satellite camp. Now, the colleges might get mad at me because they want these satellite camps to evaluate, but it's quickly. You know, it's bring your tennis shoes, run the 40, you know, let's see what you got. That's not going to be the best route if you're not ready to run the 40. What if you're a linebacker? Let's use an example.
Okay.
And you're a D1 coach. Mm-hmm. You're looking for a Mike or an outside linebacker usually, okay?
Right.
Your outside backer could be 6 foot to 6'3", yeah. Mm-hmm. 190.
More of your speed guy, yeah.
But you better run a 4.5, 4.6.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you're a Mike guy, you can be 6 foot, 6'2". Mm-hmm. You could be built like Devin White. Not many people are.
Right, right. That's rare.
But they want you about 225. They want you a little thicker, but they still want you to run 4.6, 4.69, 4.7,
mm-hmm.
and bring it, right?
Right.
Well, if you go to a camp and you're on the lean side of that linebacker spot and you run a 4.9, mm-hmm. then you were better off to wait and don't go.
Right.
Meaning continue to get better before you audition. It's like these actors. When they audition, you better be ready. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get any parts.
Yeah.
Because there's another level from the level you think you are.
Right.
And if you're the Mike linebacker and you run a 5.240 and you're 6'1", about 225, they're going to say, look, you know, we're going to call you. We're going to keep in touch with you. But that means we're not going to offer you. You're not going to go to junior day in the first 50 that we invite out of the top 2,000 kids, right?
Right.
So that's just a little bit of advice for parents about going to camps off campus. That's our, hey, parents, listen up.
This week in the NFL.
Yeah, just an NFL playoff recap. Jay, Seattle Seahawks obviously lost. It's tough to beat Green Bay in the Tundra.
Yeah.
It's tough to beat Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he's declining at all, you know. And
yeah,
I'm a big fan of Aaron Rodgers. I'm not a big Packers fan, but I like Aaron, and I love his competitive nature. You just, if there's a minute left, he's still the guy in the NFL that's going to beat you probably. I think he's got 5 Hail Mary victories in his
he
career.
Does. Yeah.
But Rodgers, you know, at this point, nobody thought Green Bay would be in this position this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, McCarthy was, you know, fired the year before. He's now the new head coach of Dallas. I never thought that would happen.
Yep.
And then, you know, you have a new coach in Green Bay. Everybody thinks, well, Aaron's on his way out. Team's rebuilt. Clay Matthews is gone. I mean, it's a whole new team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no Julius Peppers. I mean, it's a whole new, even a new running back.
Right, yep.
And all they
don't have all those receivers anymore.
Seattle was hot, man. They were just on fire. And Russell Wilson was like a magician for the last 3-4 weeks. And you could feel Pete Carroll, and they were going to do it. And boom, they lose. They lose to Green Bay. And Green Bay is in the position. There's no Pittsburgh Steelers to beat. There's New England Patriots are out. All the, you know, notatory, you know, all the great programs in the NFL are really out of this thing.
There's a lot of rising, upcoming NFL franchises coming up.
You got Tennessee Titans with a whole new look. Nobody saw this coming. Derrick Henry, I mean, he didn't
old
even have a
football.
Yeah, he didn't have a couple of great years prior to this year. He looks like Derrick Henry from Alabama now.
Yeah, he does.
And who thought Tannehill would be this good?
Yeah,
with the Titans and their coach,
Mike Vrabel,
the former New England Patriot linebacker. He looks like the coach of the future.
Yeah,
I mean, he milked the clock. With a punt, like a minute to win the week
he
before.
He pulled one on his mentor.
Yeah, he did it on Belichick. A little payback. But
yep.
And then you got Kansas City's never been this deep since the 70s mm-hmm. or 60s with Lenny Dawson, the quarterback. And
yeah.
I mean, the Mahomes.
He's so good.
And the Texans were on fire. I mean, the quarterback for the Texans, Deshaun Watson, is one of the great players in the league, too.
Yeah.
Who brought Clemson. I think he put Clemson on the map.
I don't think I've ever seen a game like that, trailing by 24, and then Kansas City comes back. They win by over 20. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that before in my life.
I'm picking Kansas City to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's a big, you know, you got Tyrann Mathieu might get his first ring.
Mm-hmm.
Darrell Williams from LSU, John Aaron High School, has been hurt, but I think he'll be healthy maybe by the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He's helped them in some games this year.
Yep.
We'll talk about the picks later in the show.
Yeah, we are at the very end.
This week in the NFL.
We'll be right back on the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Libra Keen.
Make sure to check out our website at LAFootballMagazine.com for all the latest recruiting information statewide. This week, check out all of our recruiting interviews with all the latest prospects and coaches. Also, make sure to check out our website to stay up to date with our TV show each week. That website, again, is LAFootballMagazine.com.
Yeah, Jay, some tidbits here in Louisiana. We've got some kids with some major talent switching high schools for 2020. Lane Blue, I thought one of the better big backs linebackers in North Louisiana, has transferred from Cedar Creek High School to the powerhouse Neville High School. This is going to hurt Cedar Creek.
Yeah.
When you're a 2A or a 3A or 1A school, it's hard to lose one of your top five players.
Yeah.
Especially a two-way player like Lane Blue that's chiseled, runs a 4.6.
Yeah.
He looks like a D1 player. Yeah. I don't know. I guess he's going to Neville as a running back. Could be a linebacker, too, for them.
Yeah.
But when you get a guy like this in Neville's offense, it's not like they need another one. But Coach McCarty, is things are looking up with his offense to have a big power back like this transferring in. Union Parish quarterback, I think one of the most exciting quarterbacks in
the
state.
He's fun to watch.
Trent Ginn, 5'5", with a cannon arm. He runs like a 4'5".
Number 24 at quarterback.
This hurts, too. He's leaving Union Parish. He transferred to Riverfield, which is a private school in an MAIS league. They've done some great things in the MAIS league, won championships.
They won championship last year.
Trent's a guy that'll probably win them another one next year. Just this one guy in MAIS, you got one big-time guy. You got a chance to win it all. This is going to hurt Union Parish.
Yeah.
Because they're already losing a lot of players from last year. But yeah. I think Coach Joe Spadafore will have it, will have the wagons circled, and he'll do better. He'll find a way. He'll move one of his great athletes there.
Yeah.
And then Eli Holstein, brother of our other Holstein quarterback from St. Thomas More. Eli's going to be a sophomore quarterback, transferred to Zachary High School.
That's a game changer.
6'3", 200 pounds with a cannon arm. The Zachary coaches are already excited. So they're going to have three straight quarterbacks that will be D1 signees. This kid's got 3 years left, Jace. And it gives Zachary a lot of hope to continue the spread offense, continue to have a guy that can – he can actually throw it more than Keelan Brown – and our other quarterback that left,
Lindsey Scott.
So it was scary. He might be better than both of those kids. That's really, really scary.
So you're telling me after 8 years of having those two guys, Zachary could have another three with another one. That's just incredible.
Remember, it's not Eli Manning, Eli Holstein.
Right.
Look out for that name next year. That is our recruiting scoop of the week.
It's time for the human touch.
Our human interest story, Jace. I know that you talked to the coach, Tommy Connors at Shaw, who was in our magazine as a free safety when he played at Southeastern, and when he played at Shaw, was able to go watch him in practice. That's how long we've been doing this. And Tyler Nicole wore number 98.
Yeah.
Nobody wears 98 as quarterback. I saw this on film.
Mm-hmm.
So I was watching Shaw in a full game film, and I'm watching it. You know, you don't look at numbers. You look at players making plays and you're ranking them and all that. But I see this guy that's 5'5". He's got a heart of a champion.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Nicole wearing 98. And by the way, he's a heck of a little player.
Yeah.
And in a 5A league, which is really tough, I don't know how he did it. He went a whole year and did some
that
great
Catholic
things.
Catholic league, yeah.
Great tough. Arm. He was a really good player. Actually, if he was 5'11", he might go D3, D2. But tell everybody the background, Jace, about the number 98, how it came about.
Sure. So Coach Connors, he called me yesterday, and we were kind of throwing the idea. And I asked him, so how did that come about? You don't see any 98s coming out at quarterback. So he originally did not wear 98. He originally wore number 3. and as a freshman. They had a senior the previous year. His name's Dwayne Gray. You probably have seen him before. He was a cornerback.
Yeah, he's a good player.
And he tragically lost his life in an accidental shootout. In like honor for him, memorial for him, they retired that number, not for that 1 year, to honor him. And so he wasn't going to play his freshman year. So coach asked him, because he wore number 3, that was Dwayne's number. So what number do you want to wear? Well, Tyler just watched Michigan play and saw Devin Gardner, the quarterback at Michigan, wear 98 to honor Michigan's first Heisman Trophy winner. He played quarterback in the 40s, and he wore number 98. So I was like, I think I'll have some fun with it. I'm not going to see the field. So
well, now you got to get the LHSA to approve it.
Yeah, right. But he wasn't going to see the field his freshman junior year.
Right.
So he just wore 98. But he, like you said, he was going to play his senior year. He's going to be the starting quarterback. And so he was like, well, you can't wear 98. It's an ineligible number. Well, he said, well, I want to wear number 98. I just kind of grew on me in the last 3 years. So Coach Connors convinced the LHSAA to let him wear number 98, and the rest is history.
I think it's a great story. And condolences to the family of Coach, Gray's family.
Right, Juwan, yep.
But such a good light in the whole end of this and how this came about, wearing number 98. I don't know if you ever see that again. I mean, what if Joe Burrow was wearing 98? That would be kind of weird or odd looking, right?
Right.
Johnny Manziel wearing 98. You know, or Russell Wilson. It just, it's just – it takes he obviously didn't bother me. He embraced 98 because the way he played, he played well. But that is our human interest story of the week.
We'll be right back on the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.
If you are a parent that needs a highlight tape and you need consulting advice on how to deal with the recruiting process, please contact Lee Brekeen, who has had over 30 years of experience dealing with college coaches and making highlight tapes all over the country. For more information, please contact Lee Brekeen at lbrekeen@aol.com. That is lbrekeen@aol.com. It's time for the Recruit of the Week.
Yeah, Jace, we have a great recruit of the week, Garen Hargon, who signed with Rice University, one of the great academic colleges in the South. It's hard to get into Rice. I mean, they want really phenomenal grades, and this person that we're about to introduce has a 4.0 GPA, a 26 ACT. He fits the model. He also fits the model for someone that can go to Rice, and I really believe play in the NFL one day. 6'3". 234 pounds, can run a 4.7, was a linebacker, was a running back. He could be a fullback. Reminds me of Torrey Carter at LSU. He brings it. Big guy, tough, just a football player, and he's smart. And he's the kind of guy that I was, maybe if LSU was using the fullback like they used to,
right,
he would maybe get that spot, but he's going to be at Rice. He's going to play as a true freshman. And Garen Hargon plays at Captain Shreve High School in Shreveport. He missed most of his senior year. And tell everybody what he did when he got hurt. He got hurt, but he actually did something.
Yeah,
really,
it was in the Battle of the Border, the jamboree they do up in Shreveport. And during the play, he picked up a fumble. And while he was picking up the fumble, I think on the play before that, he tore his ACL. But play that the next play. And the running back fumbled the ball. He picked it up. And basically on one leg, because he tore his ACL the previous play, he returned it for a touchdown. That happened to be his last play at Captain Shreve.
And that was early in the season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he missed mostly the whole year. But he had 90 tackles his junior year, 15 tackles for loss, 3 forced fumbles, 5 fumble recoveries, 3 pass breakups, 6.5 sacks as a junior. He ended his high school career on a fumble return, like you said, Jace, and did it on a torn ACL. Didn't even know it.
Yeah.
And that was it.
After he scored, he kind of told the train staff to come here because there's something wrong.
Great kid. I think the kid is phenomenal. He's got that attitude, that grit, that determination.
Already overcame a lot of adversity.
He lost his dad at a young age in high school. And this kid's going to be something. He's going to be really great kid. He's going to get his degree, but he's got a chance to be an NFL guy. He's kind of like those guys you see at Stanford and Rice. And they're like, how did he get there and how did he get to the NFL? Well, he had it.
Yeah.
That's the school that wanted him. That's a great school, Rice University. That's our recruit of the week.
And it's time for our high school team of the week.
Our team of the week, Jace, is Acadiana High School. They were the Class 5A state champions on the public side. They had to beat Zachary to get there. I mean, Zachary had won, what, three of the last four?
Yeah, three of the last four.
And Acadiana, Ted Davidson retired, and Matt McCullough took over, and he's done a phenomenal job.
He has.
I've watched him on film. I watched him against Ruston week one. Ruston had a great team. They beat Ruston. Acadiana had some great battles. Tell everybody listening,
mm-hmm.
they had a 78-point game.
Yeah, it was against – they had an 81 against Sam Houston. And that's pretty impressive himself since Sam Houston was a playoff team at the 5A level.
49-0 over Walker.
Yes, and I was very you assigned me to that game against right. Walker, and I was really impressed with him.
34-7 over a good airline team.
Yep.
And Benton's got a decent team out of Bossier City area. Oh, absolutely. 78-28.
Absolutely.
They averaged 49 points a game in 2019, giving up only 12 points a game on defense. They defeated Destrehan, who's got a really good team.
Great
in the
team.
State championship. Team's fifth state championship for Acadiana.
Yeah, and that's the first time they went on the fiasco. I was kind of surprised 2014. By that. Yeah.
And doing his undefeated team, and they've got everybody back on defense.
Yeah.
And so what they're going to do, they're going to move some of these athletes to offense.
Right.
And they're not going to miss a beat.
Yep.
Their offensive line, the young guys actually are going to have a chance to be better than the seniors that left.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got five defensive ends that'll play college ball one day.
Yeah.
That's a great position to be deep. They have like five Chassons. I'm not saying they're all Chassons
right,
level.
Right.
But they all are built like that 6'2", 6'1", 6'3", 230, 240.
Mm-hmm.
How do you can't run on a defense like that in high school football. Colleges don't have five defensive ends. And they got all their DBs back. Their free safety could be an LSU recruit or ULL. They have a chance to repeat and win their sixth state title in 2021.
Yeah, I really do think so. Matt McCullough's doing a good job. I remember you assigned me an article with Coach McCullough and saying that he had a lot of big shoes to fill, you know, with Ted Davidson, but he's done an absolute great job.
You went and got the stats for us, so I wanted you to get the stats on Army commits. Lucky Brooks. Lucky was a heck of a running back for Acadiana, his seniors going to Army. Dylan Monette, the quarterback, running back, everything. Dylan had over 3,000 yards, 50 touchdowns combined with Lucky Brooks. Their quarterback's a senior.
Yeah.
But what a great offense and what a great job that they're doing, Matt McCullough at Acadiana. The Wrecking Rams.
Yeah.
And, in Scott, Louisiana.
One more sign up before we go to break. And Dylan Monette, he also beat Allie Broussard's career record at Acadiana.
That's quite a feat. Ollie was the most talented player I've ever seen at Acadiana besides Jacob Cotrera,
mm-hmm.
former LSU linebacker. What a great school. They had a punter go to Alabama, make All-American. They've had a kicker go to LSU and make All-SEC. Great program. Acadiana puts a lot of players in college football. That's our high school team of the week, Acadiana High School.
We'll be right back on the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Make sure to tune in this week to Louisiana Football TV Magazine as host Lee Brekeen brings on big-time guests, recruits, coaches, you name it. You can catch the show on Yearview, Channel 4 in Baton Rouge, New Orleans, and Lafayette, CW21 in Shreveport-Bossier City area, CBS in Lake Charles, ETEL in Ascension, and ETEL Vision in Houma, Lafourche. Check your area for local listings. It's time for Lee's mailbag. So, Lee, we have some questions here from some of the fans. And
from our emails, huh?
Yeah, from the emails that we got in. And the first one, Jennifer from Shreveport, she wants to know, what will be the best high school team in the Shreveport area next season?
I think there's going to be some really good high school teams next year, Jace. I think Mendon's going to be very talented. I think Airline's got their quarterback back, a lot of talent back. It's going to be interesting to see what Evandrel can do. They're going to be rebuilding. North DeSoto. It's got a chance to be really strong with Dennis Dunn. They have a lot of talent back. Manny is going to be talented again. Haynesville will be rebuilt. They had a kind of a rebuilding year this past year. Captain Shreve should stay strong. And Woodlawn will be talented. I thought Woodlawn played a lot of young players. I'm very impressed with the young kids at Woodlawn in Shreveport. There's a lot of talent coming back in the Shreveport-Bossier area and Parkway. Parkway will be competitive. Parkway lost a lot of seniors off this team. But the problem is they play – everybody they play is in the playoffs. Yeah. Their 4A league is as tough as any district in the state. There's not a weak team in 4A in the Shreveport area, and you combine that in the Bossier area with Parkway. And then Houghton's going to be very talented again too. I know C.J. McWilliams is moving on, but the quarterback is back, Hunter Stovall. Yep. And they've got some young players coming up. So there's going to be some competitive teams.
Second question, John from Monroe. I know we're just coming off of the end of the college football season, yeah, but John from Monroe wants to know, who will win the college football playoff national championship next season?
Let's make a prediction on the podcast in August.
Okay.
Let the transfer portal stop.
Yeah, right.
Because this transfer portal is about to get about 500 kids nationally.
Yeah.
And it's going to change everything. Some people are going to get a Joe Burrow. I don't know about a Joe Burrow, but some people are going to get a good transfer quarterback.
Like the Eric King.
Right. Yeah. It's going to change everything. Mm-hmm. Like, is Georgia going to pick him up?
Oh, Georgia picked up.
But they might pick him up too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kids will want to go compete with the best. Now, my pick is Ohio State.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense.
I think Fields coming back at quarterback.
Yeah.
They only replaced Dobbins and the big D and Chase Young.
Chase Young, yep.
They returned the whole line, which all of those guys will be first, second-round picks.
Yep.
They're deep at running back anyway. They got four or five receivers coming back that are really good. Their defense, outside of three starters, everybody's back.
Yep.
Clemson, I think LSU's put a little doubt in Clemson. I'm a little different. I think everybody's, Clemson's had a great recruiting class. Recruiting class coming in this year, that's not going to help next year.
Yeah, next year.
I think Lawrence at quarterback is starting to go, man, I lost a game in a big game. Not just a loss, but a national championship loss. Mm-hmm. And no Etienne. Etienne didn't declare yet, but if he leaves,
yeah,
they don't have an Etienne.
And there was, I think one of those two receivers is either Higgins or Ross.
T. Higgins is gone. Rodgers could go pro.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Austin Ross, he's only a sophomore.
Yeah, that's, I figured one of them was a sophomore.
But they lose their whole line. They lose the whole offensive line, like LSU.
Yeah.
Besides Ingram, I think everybody's leaving at LSU except Ed Ingram. But Clemson, you know, Lawrence is going to have a whole new O-line to play behind and no Etienne and no T. Higgins and probably no Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be – and it's Justin Ross. I said Austin Ross, but Justin Ross. But their defense is going to have to carry him like LSU next year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
they do play in the ACC, so they got that going for them, it looks like.
And then Michigan's down. The reason I pick Ohio State, nobody can challenge Ohio State in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
I think Michigan's going down. I don't think their coach will be there much longer, maybe another season.
Mm-hmm.
They got a new quarterback. It might be McCaffrey
or
someone else. Shea Patterson graduates.
Yep.
But Michigan did not look like a contender after the Alabama bowl game. They don't look like a team ready to challenge Ohio State. And Wisconsin, they can't beat Ohio State.
Yeah.
Penn State, they're losing a lot of juniors. And their coach, will he be back?
Right.
So
good point. Sue from Lafayette, she wants to know, how do I know how good my son is going to his senior year? Who can help me?
Ask three people that know what they're doing. Talk to three people that know what they're doing that are not just telling you what you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Ask three people, how good is my son and how good could he be?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to really always give them the truth, because if a kid's not D1, a mom and dad, they don't want to hear that. But you know what? You need to hear what the truth is. So if he's only a 1AA prospect right now, then tell him you got to work toward, maybe you might not ever be D1.
Right.
But work on trying to be a 1AA college player or a D2 or a D3.
Mm.
Or maybe you got to go to junior college if you don't have the grades. So ask three people that are going to look you in the face and tell you the truth about where your son's at right now and where he can go.
Okay, and we'll have two more, so I guess we can try to hurry up with the answers
a
little bit.
Sure,
Johnny from Metairie wants to know, will Drew Brees be the Saints starting quarterback next season?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the Pope will be in Rome next year, and Drew will be in the Saints uniform next year. I think he deserves to leave when I want to.
Mm.
And I'm not going to get down on Drew. It wasn't his fault. It just the Saints just have some bad luck the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
They lost two starting D tackles.
Yeah, I heard them. Yep.
And that San Francisco game wasn't just a loss. They lost three starters on defense in that game that changed.
Mm-hmm.
They had to blitz DBs in the playoffs, which gave up long throws.
Yeah.
And you saw it against Minnesota, but they lost their two best D tackles and their best DN.
Mm-hmm.
Rankins was big time, and he gets hurt for the year against San Francisco.
And then Davenport.
Davenport in the same game. So
the
luck of that was just bad luck.
Yeah, it was. And then our last question, is this year's LSU football team the greatest college football team you have ever seen?
Based on stats and offense, I agree.
Mm.
I've seen some great Nebraska offenses with Roger Craig and Turner Gill and you know, Chom Raffman and Dean Steinkuhler and all the great players.
Right.
Miami had some great offenses and defenses. Penn State, Michigan, Notre Dame, Montana, and some of those. But the stats back it up. Like Terrace Marshall said and Jamar Chase said and Justin Jefferson, this is on video.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a video game.
Right.
It's a video game with the LSU offense, and they actually did it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They broke every yardage record on offense. And the receivers had stats I never thought I'd see at LSU.
Yeah,
I never thought I'd see a kid with 110 catches, Jefferson, plus.
Yep.
And you're running back with 55 catches.
Yeah.
You're tight end with almost 50 catches.
Mm-hmm.
Marshall had almost 55 and missed five games.
He had a couple of touchdowns.
And Chase had how many? 80 catches?
Yeah, like 20-something touchdowns.
And 1,700 yards?
Yep.
He had 4,000 yards of offense between just Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson.
Yeah,
I never thought I would see that at LSU. No. I don't think you're going to see this again.
No.
Maybe 50 years from now, 40 years from now. I mean, Mahomes didn't do this at Texas Tech.
Right.
He was the best Pac-Man video quarterback. I don't even know how LSU beat Texas Tech and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
And how did they beat the quarterback from Louisville with the Ravens? LSU beat the best two athletic quarterbacks the last decade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You thought of that?
Yeah, they did. But, you know, backing them up, they didn't really have as much help also with what they got now.
But this was a special group. But move forward to answer the end this question is LSU can have many more successful seasons and they can challenge for championships. It's just the perfection season is – it's tough to duplicate.
Okay. And we're going to move on to our next segment.
It's time for our game picks.
This is the NFL, and it's almost here. The Super Bowl will be around, in about 3 weeks probably?
Yeah, about 3 weeks from now.
I love pro football. I love the playoffs because it looks like these guys are fighting. Not that they don't play hard every play, but they're giving it all. They're going extra. It's that little extra.
Yeah.
Kansas City's going to play the Titans. Neither one of these teams were expected to be here. I picked both of them to win last week.
Mm-hmm.
But Kansas City, Mahomes, I think the futures, the stars are aligned. Tyrann Mathieu's on the team. I hope Darrell Williams gets to get back this week from LSU. But the Titans, Tannehill's scary. He's in a groove. And then Derrick Henry downhill.
Yeah, you're going to have to him before he gets the ball.
He looks like Derrick Henry against LSU 4 years ago.
Yeah, yep.
Where it's like, well, we're going to wear you down, and he can get 200 yards a game. He looks like he's unstoppable right now.
And he gets better after each carry, which makes it even
and their defense, Rashawn Evans from Alabama is one of the best young linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
They have some young, great talent. They have a receiver from Ole Miss that's all world.
A.J. Brown.
I mean, they have some good look. You got to say, take your hat off to the GM. What a draft. What a free agent requirement to get Tannehill out of Miami, and he didn't do anything in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when he was a wide receiver at A&M.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then I've got San Francisco beating Green Bay.
Yeah.
I think San Francisco is healthy again. Alexander, the linebacker from LSU, is back. They returned 3D linemen. Bosa is a beast.
Yeah.
And I can't believe Richard Sherman's still playing at this high level as a DB.
Yeah.
And the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers,
Garoppolo.
Whoever thought he would be this level, it was kind of like, well, New England's getting rid of a guy that
Yeah.
He might not be the future to Brady, but actually they might have screwed up.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of note. I think Kittle, tight end, is phenomenal.
He's a beast.
The Saints. He had the play of the game to beat the Saints. But yeah. Dwight Clark was my favorite tight end way back. I think he's got a chance to have a better career.
Yeah.
But San Francisco, Kansas City, and I like Kansas City. We'll make the picks next week. But
yeah, for this week, yeah, I'm going to go with – I mean, Kansas City, I just don't see how you slow down that offense and all the weapons they got. I think Kansas City is going to go to the Super Bowl. And San Francisco, I love Aaron Rodgers. San Francisco checks all the other boxes, so I'm going to go with San Francisco in the Kansas City Super Bowl match.
It would be something, though, if Green Bay gets by San Fran and then wins it, and nobody would have ever thought this would happen this year.
Yep. So, yeah, it was like we're going to run a little bit out of time, but I guess we can just kind of wrap it up for today's show.
Yeah, it was a great show. Hope you enjoyed it. We want feedback from people, fans. Be sure to email me at lbrecheen@aol.com. That's lbrecheen@aol.com. We might keep some of these topics. We might get rid of some, but we want you to tell us, what did you like? What did you like the most? And please email us. We would love your feedback, and this is the first show that we've done this year. We plan on having some more great ones every week, every Friday. It'll be up, and tell your friends, tell coaches, players. And it's not just a football show. It's not just a recruiting show. But we really enjoyed it. We were excited about it. And we'll check you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.